everybody, and welcome back to From Complex to Queens, Mason Avenue's minor league podcast. I am Steve Sipa, and I'm joined this week by Lucas Vlahos, Ken Levin, and Thomas Henderson. How's everyone doing this week?
All right. I'm doing well.
It's way too hot out.
It's so hot. It's ridiculous.
It is not good.
Oppressively hot.
Just absolutely the worst.
I was trying to, you know, solve the problem of my pasty white skin, you know, by forcing myself to go sit outside and read for an hour or so every day, because, like, right next to my building there's this nice little courtyard. It's just not viable. I'm outside for 5 minutes. I'm like, no.
Got a spray tan then.
Yeah, I'll look orange. I'll run for president. That'd be great.
All right, so we'll start with promote extend trade. And on this date in 1940, the animated short A Wild Hare was released in movie theaters, and that introduced America to Bugs Bunny. And in the decades since, obviously, the characters changed and evolved a little bit. The animation has changed, the voice acting has changed, but the constant has always been that Bugs foils a bunch of inept antagonists in comical ways. So, of all the Bugs Bunny characters that he's had to deal with over the years, I'm not going to call them villains, because they're not really villains, but of all of his foils, who are we going to promote, extend, or trade?
Oof. My dad's going to be very disappointed in the fact that I can't really name any of them, because he's a giant Bugs Bunny fan, and I, like... What's the name of that big red carpet-looking thing that he gives a pedicure at one point?
I believe his name is just, like, Red Monster.
I know
who you're talking about, but... No, actually, no. He has a comical name. Hold on. Maurice, maybe?
Maurice. I think that actually might be it.
Yeah. Gossamer is his name.
Gossamer? All right.
There's just, like, I don't know, Elmer's great.
Yeah, of course.
Marvin the Martian's great. Like, yeah. They're all funny.
Can I do what is a multiple foil and extend the baseball team that he just absolutely rolls over in that one?
I think that's the objective right answer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Gas House Gorillas.
Is that really their...
Yep. It is.
All right, well, I guess I'm extending the Gas House Gorillas. I like Elmer Fudd. I'll promote him, and I'll trade, I don't know, the Tasmanian Devil. There we go.
Poor Taz.
Yeah.
That sounds good to me, too.
Yeah, I don't really want to trade any of them. I will say it's with a heavy heart I have to trade any of them, because they're always so funny. But I'll trade Taz.
I mean, hey, maybe don't be named after an extinct species, and you wouldn't get traded.
Tasmanian devils are not extinct.
Get good.
Yes, they are.
No, they're not. Wow, we just blew Lucas's mind.
Oh shit, they're only endangered. What am I thinking of then?
Dodos.
How did I mix up a dodo and a Tasmanian devil?
Don't you see? Those are exactly the same thing.
Uh-huh.
They're both animals of some sort.
Uh-huh.
Mild-mannered bird and crazy little wolverine type thing.
I'm thinking of the dog from Tas. Like, there's something from Tasmania. All right, whatever. I give up. You're right. They're only endangered.
All right. Well, glad we cleared that up then. I'm actually trading, believe it or not, Daffy, because I didn't really like Daffy too much.
Really?
Yeah.
I think Daffy's pretty funny.
He's okay, but, like, just a lot of it just seems too forced to me.
That's funny.
I remember when I was a kid, you know, like, the bit where, like, he gets his head shot off and, like, his beak comes off, and it's, like, that creeped me out when I was, like, six, so.
Steve is terrified that you could remove the beak of a duck, so he hates Daffy now.
Scarred for life because of it.
Can be removed with a shotgun.
Yes.
And can be put back on.
Somehow.
Yes, that's the most important part, is that you can then slide it back down and just kind of reattach it.
So then could you basically trade beaks if you're a duck then in this universe?
That's a good question.
What's the compatibility like?
Yeah.
Do they have an adapter?
Can your body reject the new beak and then you get like sick or something and you got to
change? Is it like one of those crazy prosthetic nails that people wear? Can you get like a toucan beak as a duck? Like, yeah, I'm just flaunting this today.
Or like you match it with whatever shoes you're wearing.
Uh-huh.
Like, oh, I'm wearing red today. You break out the red beak.
Well, can they swap out their feet as well, right? Can you be like a duck and get like a blue-footed boobies feet and then a toucan beak and just be like, I'm just super colorful today. It's all good.
I can't think of any other duck characters from like Looney Tunes, so.
Maybe yeah, maybe. I can't think of any either.
I mean, Foghorn Leghorn, he's a chicken, so he has a beak, but.
That's true. But I mean, if you're mixing chicken and ducks, we're just talking mayhem at that point.
Yeah.
I
mean.
Or very strange Thanksgiving traditions.
Oh,
you stuff three animals inside of one another.
Makes you wonder.
As an update, I'm not totally insane. There is a Tasmanian creature known as a thylacine, or a Tasmanian tiger or wolf, which is the only marsupial wolf that is believed to be extinct. So that's what I was thinking of.
Okay, well, I'm glad we cleared that up for anyone listening out there.
The more also, you know.
Yeah.
Everyone's favorite Mets podcast. We've been talking about endangered species for like 5 minutes.
Very educational.
Exactly.
All right, well, then let's go on to some more Mets-related news. Baseball in Asia. So the CPBL, they just started their second half now, and the Lions went 1-1 in the two games that they played, so I'm not going to bother with players of the week or anything like that. But the league did have their midseason draft on Monday, last Monday. And the Weichuan Dragons, they're an expansion team. They haven't actually started playing yet. They got the first draft. And they picked Wei Chung Wang, who was a minor leaguer who's bounced around with the Pirates, the Brewers, and the A's over the last couple of years. But then the Unilions had the second pick. And they went with Tzu Hao Lin, who was a high school third baseman. He's had some exposure in the under-18 Taiwanese national team. So he's known as being a pretty good hitter. So if his bat develops, that would go a long way to shoring up the infield on that team. Outfield is the best in the league. Their three main outfielders were all in the top 10 in WRC+, but basically no one else on that team is good. So having a strong third baseman definitely will help. The LG Twins now went 2-2 with one game postponed because of rain and then the other one just outright canceled. So that leaves them at 35-31-1 for the year, which is fifth place and 10 games behind the NC Dinos. Hitter of the week was Hyunsoo Kim. He had a pretty good week. He went 8-17 with a double, two homers, five RBI and a walk. And Casey Kelly was pitcher of the week, and it was actually one of those rare weeks where he got two starts in, and one was exceptionally good, and the other wasn't that great, but in total he pitched 11 and a third innings, and he allowed 6 runs on 12 hits, he walked 2, he hit 1 batter, and he struck out 14. And finally, the Colt Swallows, they went 2-1, and then they had 3 ties this week.
Nice.
So that leaves them at 15-11-4 for the season, which is good for second place, 2.5 games behind the Yomiuri Giants. Hitter of the week is someone that we should all be familiar with, Norichika Aoki. He played for the Mets for a little bit in 2017, and he was in majors from 2012 to 2017, which is actually a little bit longer than I realized. I thought he was only in the league for like maybe 2 or 3.
He had like a decent run with the Brewers and then the Royals.
He got some Rookie of the Year votes that first year with the Brewers.
He had a pretty good major league career, yeah.
Yeah, very solid, underrated. Well, maybe not underrated, but a solid player that, you know, not too many people talk too much about. He had a really good this week. He went 9-15 with 3 doubles, 2 homers, and 5 walks on top of that. So.
Oh, is that all?
Yeah. He basically got on base constantly.
That'll play.
And then pitcher of the week for a third week in a row now, because you call Tez literally the worst pitching in the league.
Hooray!
Is Ogawa. He wasn't terrible, but he wasn't particularly great. He allowed 3 runs over 7 innings. He allowed 5 hits. He walked 1, and he struck out 5. So, pretty good week for the hitters. And pitchers kind of eh.
Yeah.
Now we'll finally start talking about the Mets.
Yeah.
10 minutes into our Mets podcast.
Okay, the last thing here is you say they had ties this week, and I know I've derisively laughed at that before. After seeing the runner on second for all of one game the majors, I'd rather have ties.
So bad.
Yeah, I don't know.
Allow for one extra inning. If no one wins it, it's a tie.
I don't care about ties if it's like 13th, 14th inning-ish. Because, like, I like those games in theory, but during those games, I'm like, all right, I'm done with this. Like, no game should last that long. I don't know, like, then when it happens in the playoffs, it's extra special. Because you're like, yeah, we're actually gonna, like, there's a feeling of tension there. But, like, I don't know, during the regular season, whatever.
Wait, are they going to do the runner on second thing in the playoffs?
I'm assuming they're going to. I haven't heard that they're not. I don't expect them to have a different set of rules for the playoffs.
Do we expect them to have playoffs, period?
I mean, I think they're just going to power through. But I can't really imagine them stopping. But, yeah, like, could you imagine it's like Game 7 of the damn World Series and it's the 10th inning and there's like the runner starts on second? A team's going to lose the World Series because a runner started on second in the 10th inning of a playoff game.
And I'm going to double down on the 60 words we wrote about the 60 game season and say, please, I just don't want them to win this year.
It's going to be something like that, and I'm going to be very angry.
It's very Mets to win this year.
Yeah, it is true. I mean, nothing they do, even the good that they do, basically always has an asterisk or some kind of...
exactly.
Thing attached to it, you know. Look at Johan's no hitter. Like, oh wow, there's a play that kind of fuzzy, so we can't even have that. So of course it would be the Mets that would win the World Series in a year where we can't even have that.
People also constantly say that game ended his career. I don't know that it did so much as the ankle injury and the start after did end Mike Baxter's career though. Basically,
it big ended Mike Baxter's career. Who is better than I remembered? Like
Mike
I looked
Baxter's
him up.
Pretty good.
Yeah,
he
like
walked a lot. Yeah,
like I looked him up recently, and I was looking at his numbers, and I was like, he was kind of good. Like I thought he was just kind of like it because I was younger then, so I was like, I was in high school, so like I wasn't really into going on Fangraphs every day and looking at stuff like that. So I just had like the preconceived notion of him being like a whatever fourth, fifth outfielder, but he was kind of good.
Now he is coaching at Vanderbilt, I believe it is.
Yeah, good for him.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Anyway, so yeah, in more Mets news that is kind of stupid because of the Mets, they designated Stephen Gonsalves for assignment, and he was picked up by the Boston Red Sox, so he's gone. And because he was claimed by the Mets from the Twins in like November, December, and has now been claimed. He never actually pitched a single game officially with the Mets. Is he good? Probably not. Nothing really jumps out at you in the scouting report that makes you think he'll be a reliable major league pitcher. He's basically a fastball changeup lefty with a very thin margin of error to succeed. And in the limited innings that he got in the majors with the Twins in 2018, he got torched. He gave a ton of hits and walked a ton of guys. But do the Mets really have the pitching depth to be letting guys like him go just kind of willy-nilly?
No. Like, I wrote the news piece up for him after he got DFA'd. And what I basically said was, I don't know if he's good, and like, but it's hard to justify the Mets DFAing a formerly highly touted pitching prospect when, like, Corey Oswalt's real close to the majors. Like, right now he's on the roster. You know what I mean? Even if Gonsalves is bad, I'd rather have him than not have him.
Basically, the player pool consists of Oswalt with an asterisk because he is supposed to be in the rotation now, but we'll see, whatever. But Oswalt, then there's David Peterson, and we'll talk about him a little later. Then there's Erasmo Ramirez, Kevin Smith, Jordan Humphreys, Franklin Quilame, and Thomas Zupacki. Now, obviously, some of those guys have higher ceilings than Gonsalves, for sure. But would they be guys that you would be comfortable with giving them major league innings right now? I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. I would much rather give the major league innings to Gonsalves.
Right, so
I can think of at least four or five names on the 60-man currently that I would have just said, over throwing away Gonsalves. Why the hell is Hunter Strickland on this roster?
Well, did you see him yesterday? That's exactly why he's on this roster, Lucas.
Someone's got to lose.
So annoying.
So, yeah, I mean, it's just kind of...
I'd rather throw away Corey Oswalt.
Yep.
Honestly,
Hunter
I would have.
Strickland, goodbye. Send Andres Jimenez back down, because I don't think it's super useful to have him here, but that's a different discussion.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about that in like a couple of minutes, but yeah, it just doesn't seem like a wise move. And it's probably not going to come back to bite them in the ass, because Gonsalves is the same kind of tier pitcher as, you know, Erasmo Ramirez or Corey Oswalt, or just a guy that is always on the fringe, but doesn't really make it. But every so often you do see guys like that go on to have good careers. I mean, he pitched against the Mets yesterday, Darren O'Day. He's been around ever since the Mets kind of foolishly gave up his roster spot like 10 years ago. So it does happen.
He was like a good Rule 5 pick, and they just said, we don't want that.
I forget who it was, but when you got to get innings for either Nelson Figueroa or Casey Fossum, whoever it was, you got to do it.
I think it was Figueroa off the top of my head.
All right, so.
Remember. That's 2009.
Not good memories.
No.
I don't know. They just don't have the... If this was, like, let's switch the Mets and the Braves depth, and the Braves release Gonsalves, I'd be like, all right, yeah. Who cares?
Yeah, but that's because he'd be, like their 25th best pitcher.
Exactly. Like, that's the whole long and short of it for me. They just simply don't have the depth to be releasing any pitchers. Like, at all, pretty much. Except, like, Hunter Strickland, because he, like, what the hell was that? But, like, you know what I mean. Any possibly usable guy should not be released as a pitcher right now, with how paper-thin everything is.
Mm-hmm. And we'll talk about it probably a little bit more in a couple of minutes after the other side of the break here, but the 2020 season could be a good season to just see what you have and take inventory of your system and your players for the 2021 season, because it's just going to be such a weird year this year. So,
and it's not like they're going to get experience otherwise, you know.
Right. I mean, sometimes you just much rather see what you got and kind of say, screw it. And, you know, 2020 can go a lot of ways, but it could definitely get bad real fast, and a 60-year weird season would be a good time to kind of see what you got, but who knows.
I remember I used to have a history teacher back at UCLA who said to us that there were times when you could feel the fist of history tightening around you. I've always thought about that. She was talking not long after 9/11, but this is another one of those moments. It is a hinge moment in the American democratic experiment. The entire globe is being battered by the coronavirus. We are dealing with some of our oldest wounds in this country on top of entirely new technologies. Like, it is a crazy time. I'm Ezra Klein, host of the Ezra Klein Show podcast. And what we're trying to do right now is understand our time and try to find some of the ideas that might help us chart a way out of it. In the past few months, we've talked to Ta-Nehisi Coates about why the protests have made him actually hopeful, to Mariana Mazzucato about the ways in which the economics profession has misunderstood the concept and mismeasured the concept of value, to Elizabeth Warren about her plan to combat the coronavirus, to Ross Douthat about whether or not American society has become decadent. These have all been great conversations, and there are so many more. I hope you'll join me every Monday and Thursday to stay informed and maybe get a sense of hope as well. Subscribe to The Ezra Klein Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening to this right now.
Hey, I'm Ariel Dimross, the host of a podcast called Reset from Vox.com. Every week, we tackle stories that deal with how technology and science are reshaping our lives.
You know, there's been a lot of scrutiny over the years about the power that these companies have amassed.
We tell stories about the new worlds we are now finding ourselves in. Like going to a music concert in a video game.
Minecraft, since the pandemic has happened, has become the go-to hub for these kind of virtual music festivals.
And stories about how certain technologies are being used to exert power over us.
I'm on the other end of the street, closer to the cops, and they just start firing directly at me. So they fire a tear gas canister, lands at our feet.
I tell those stories because no matter how chaotic things get, we still have a chance to learn and change the systems we've created for the better. Listen to Reset every Friday, wherever you get your podcasts, and subscribe so you don't miss a beat. Later, nerds.
All right. So, baseball is back. The baseball season, giant asterisk, started. And we're going to discuss the minor league players that made the opening day roster. There were basically two main stories here. One guy made it and one guy didn't. And it was probably the opposite in terms of what people expected. So the guy that made it to the opening day roster is surprisingly Andrés Giménez. And we'll get to the other guy who had a case in a second, but we'll just stick with Andrés right now. On one hand, great. I'm not really sure what the right term for it is, but, you know, we quote-unquote meet these guys when they sign, and we follow them for years. So when they finally make it to the majors, there's definitely a sense of, like, being proud for them and everything like that. So in that sense, I'm very happy that Andrés Giménez has made the roster. That aside now, is Giménez making the roster the right decision? Lucas, you are the main guy that doesn't think it is, so what do you say?
Yeah, like, look, I hate to be the shill for management or whatever, and I certainly would never take this. Like, for instance, when they called up Pete Alonso on game one of the season last year, right, I'm not going to be there complaining about service time constraint because he's the starter. He has an obvious role. He's clearly the best player at the position, and screw the extra year at that point. I don't understand why you're throwing away an extra year so a guy can, so you can have a guy on your bench as a defensive sub when you already have Luis Guillorme, and if you want speed, you have Eduardo Nunez. Like, it doesn't. I'm fine. I'm not going to be one of those people who goes crazy over min-maxing every last possible day of service time. But it does seem like a short-sighted decision to add an extra bench bat.
So I think they did this solely because of there's no minor league season. Like, I don't think he makes the opening day roster in a regular season.
If you could send him to AAA, you probably would.
Yeah, so what I think they're doing is they're saying instead of him ostensibly wasting a year in hanging out in Brooklyn and playing meaningless baseball like practices, they're bringing him along and saying this is what the major this is a taste of the major leagues, not fully what it's like because obviously the whole year is wacky, but like I think that's what they're doing. That's how I understand it.
I also have the rosters contract a little bit into the season, right?
Yeah.
So I feel like the first roster cut it's probably going to be him, and they'll recoup any service time anyway.
It'll be him and not Hunter Strickland.
Like right now, I kind of like the role they have him in because he's a big league ready fielder, you know. The last thing for him to do is to get used to game speed at the big league level, and this is a pretty easy way to do that, you know, when the alternative would be playing, you know, practices in Brooklyn. So, I don't really see a downside to it.
It's wasting a year is the downside, is on the back end.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
That's really it. It's, is it worth it for an extra year or a few years from now, which hopefully, if Steve Cohen, I'm assuming he buys the team because that's what it looks like right now. If he buys the team, he won't care about any of that. And just if Jimenez is good, he'll get extended before then. And we're not worried about that.
And do you really see Jimenez as like a star, you know, or a guy that's going to be expensive in arbitration?
He's good
at a lot of soft skill things, you know?
Yeah. I don't know if he'll ever be the hitter that gets like the huge amount of money in arb that.
Yeah.
Like, I just
don't
know. I'm
not an expert, but I don't know if excellent defenders get paid in arb, you know?
Yeah. I would assume not.
No, not really.
No. I mean, what is like Jose Iglesias's top career?
I mean, he got DFA'd. He's like, yeah.
Yeah. I think Jimenez is probably a little bit of a better hitter than him, but actually, I mean, to give Iglesias credit, Iglesias has a, what has he been in the league for, like 6-7 years?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, he has a solid major league career where he hasn't really, like, dipped up and down much.
I mean, but that's another point I would make here, and you're right. Like, I wouldn't say I'm, like, despondent over this. I just think it's suboptimal, right? But another point I think is that they could have just signed someone for this role and not had to risk losing the year. And you're right that he probably gets cut. I kind of forgot that part. I'm not gonna lie.
Oh, I totally forgot too.
But like, there's no reason the Mets shouldn't have just said, "Hey, well, we'd like a nice defensive infielder. Yada yada. Let's just go give Jose Iglesias $3 million.
Yeah, I've advocated for that like every year.
No, yeah, I think we were all on the same page about it. I mean, hell, I wanted them when Christian Yelich was available. I wanted them to trade Ahmed and go sign. It wasn't Iglesias at the time, but like
it was someone in that vein, though. I can't remember who you said.
Zach Cozart, yeah, who of course then like shredded his shoulder immediately and missed 2 seasons,
which would have been a disaster at shorts. So Andres,
well, but they would have had Christian Yelich, so
yeah, and Andres would have just been starting at shortstop to Britain.
Yeah, it would have been fine.
So, so actually, but
look,
yeah,
it's not, I don't think it makes a huge difference either way. Like, this isn't a franchise-altering decision.
I would have been more annoyed if this was a regular season and they did this. I would have been like, what's the point? But like, because originally I was like, I don't really get the point. And then the more I thought about it, it's like, he's just going to be sitting on his ass in Brooklyn for a year. Like, that's kind of a waste too. Like, that's a waste on the other end.
What is he doing in New York though? He's sitting on the bench until the 8th inning and then playing second base for
honestly. I would rather that. I would rather him be around major league coaching. I would rather him be around major league facilities. I would rather him just be like being in the majors is a lot. There's a lot more that he's getting. Otherwise,
there's things you can learn from proximity that you can't learn anywhere else.
That's fair. Like,
did you ever see,
which is something we can't quantify, obviously.
Did you guys ever see the season of American Horror Story of the Witches?
I've only seen the first season.
Extremely right. Not my type of thing.
Well, never mind then. I had a whole analogy.
Go for it.
Of our audience, I'm sure someone knows. Go for it.
No, I don't even feel like it anymore. I'm just
we discouraged him. You know how many ridiculous video game metaphors I drop on this show that everyone just totally ignores? It's fine.
Well, I was going to say that hopefully, basically in the season where they had witches, there's always one coven leader, and when a new coven leader is born, the leader's power slowly starts disappearing and becomes infused in the new one until they're ready to like switch places. So I say
maybe saying he's gonna suck the lifeblood out of Robinson Cano.
Right. Or in this case maybe Pete Alonso, since he's still not really showing any power here, so.
So what you're saying is
preferably Robinson Cano, though.
Put Andres at first, is what you're saying.
I mean, if whatever works.
That'd be a bold strategy, Cotton.
Oh, absolutely.
Love to put your best defender at the least difficult position.
And, like, the smallest dude on the field at the spot where you want the biggest frame.
Making those stretches. Well, I guess we're all kind of in agreement. It's not that big of a deal. And, you know, you can look at it from either side of the coin, and we all kind of agree on everything. And at the end of the day, it's not really that big of a deal.
I'm really curious to see if they give him a start along at any stretch, like when Cano needs a day off or something.
I would assume so.
I'm really curious if that's how little they view him. If not little, but that's, I'm really curious if they like actually see him that way and get like for this year and give him a start, or if they just put Guillaume out there. I think they would give him a start. That's what I would do. I would let him at least get an actual game instead of like one at bat in the ninth inning or whatever.
Call it a day.
Yeah, but I'm curious at that regard.
I mean, yeah, my goal would be to get him as much meaningful playing time as you can without exposing, you know.
Yeah. I agree.
Well, shifting topics now, and so, but staying about meaningful playing time. When the season started, the rotation was supposed to be Jacob deGrom, Marcus Stroman, Steven Matz, Rick Porcello, and Michael Wacha. Stroman's injury obviously has thrown a wrench into those plans. And Corey Oswalt is supposed to be the one that's going to be taking those starts and innings. But for a lot of people, the obvious one to replace him was David Peterson. To go back to the discussion we were having a little bit earlier about Stephen Gonsalves, do I have more faith in David Peterson than I do Corey Oswalt? I don't know.
I'm pretty confident Peterson's at least a little better.
I don't know. But
that has more to do with me having seen a lot of Corey Oswalt over the years.
Well, yeah, well.
Yeah.
they're kind of in like the same kind of tier of pitcher with me.
I just think they're
Peterson
opposite ends
being,
of that tier.
Yes, exactly. Peterson maybe having a higher spot in that tier. But really more important than kind of performance is like just seeing what you got with Peterson. I mean, we know what Oswalt is. He's been around for a couple of years now. And knowing what Peterson is would be helpful for planning, you know, for 2021 and beyond, you know, because Peterson is a known unknown, you know, to quote Donald Rumsfeld. Like, we know a lot about him in theory, you know, we know what he did in college and we know what he did in the minors, but he hasn't gotten a major league chance, so we don't know how he'll be. And giving him some starts in, you know, during this season would be helpful in knowing, okay, what are we going to do for the 2021 season when basically the Mets have no pitchers whatsoever.
Yeah. It's so open that they need to figure that out.
Yeah. And if he gets basically shelled, then, you know, okay, maybe we need to look into getting another pitcher. Free agent through free agency. If he's completely dominant in however many innings he pitches, like, all right, well, maybe there's one less spot that they need to allocate money in free agency to fill.
Like, he could, like, you need to figure out if he's your fifth starter in 2021 or if
yes.
he's a dude that you need to get out of your depth chart immediately, basically. And I think you could do that this year. Have they committed to Oswalt? Because I remember when they put Oswalt on the 30-man roster, I think it's 30 men, when they put him on that roster, I'm pretty sure they were like, we don't know if he's actually going to start. He's just here right now. So
right,
have they committed to him on Tuesday? I think that's when it would be.
I don't know, but I mean, who else is going to...
Yeah, I'm assuming so as well, unless they do some weird opener thing, but...
It would be silly. I mean, if you weren't intending on having Peterson pitch...
I agree,
then,
yeah. Why even...
Yeah, exactly. Although I could see the Mets trying to do something like that. Like, oh, we're going to outsmart everyone else and make them guess, and then they're going to somehow do something weird and stupid, and then it's going to come back to bite them in the ass because it's the Mets.
And then the Red Sox are like, look, we don't even have a fourth starter. So
who
you're throwing on the fifth day is even more irrelevant.
You're not excited for Rick Porcello?
Oh, no. Tonight on ESPN.
Former Cy Young Award winner.
Former Cy Young Award winner who was 40% worse than league average last year. It's mind-blowing.
When I was reading Rich's preview on him, follow Rich Staff on Twitter, he had the worst qualified ERA last year.
Nice.
Which is exactly what you want as your number three starter.
I wonder how many people called him Porcello when he was drafted. I don't know why that made me think, but...
Oh, absolutely.
Zero sense from the second that contract was signed. Why do you give this guy $10 million?
Oh, I disagree. I made all the sense. He's from here. He's a former Cy Young winner. They can
Not
put that
all in... that long ago.
They can put all that stuff in the press release.
Winning the back pages.
I mean, in retrospect, it's good that he's here and Michael Honestly, Walker yeah. are here. I don't necessarily, you know, I don't know what his contract is, so I mean, I'm sure he's being
overpaid. One year, $10 million.
All right. I mean, it's not terrible, but it's not great either. When I'm sure there are pitchers that pitched similarly and got paid a lot less, but
I would have rather given Blake Treinen 1 year, $10 million, than. Like, a different type of pitcher, obviously, but like...
Would have rather given Homer Bailey his potential for $8 million, would have definitely rather given Rich Hill his potential for $13
million. Oh, the Mets would break Rich Hill in 2 seconds.
No, he would have a comical injury.
That would be a Lowry
Hill
situation.
So much, though.
Oh, no,
like... Rich Hill's like one of my favorite players. Like,
I love Rich Hill.
Can
Rich Hill would be
that?
The guy...
He would show up and his arm would be
No, of course.
Off his
We'd
body.
Be the team to finally break him. But, like, the old left-handed curveball specialist is yeah. extremely my shit.
Rich Hill would be the guy that, like, he gets bit by a spider during pregame practice. And it's, like, a terrible, terrible allergic reaction. And he then suffers a kinetic chain.
Whatever, like, a step beyond yellow fever is, I feel like that would be involved.
It's like...
Ball breaking, fever?
Breaking.
I mean,
news,
really, he would just.
Go ahead.
He would just get corona. I mean, this season, but yeah.
I mean, hell, the Twins did something really because he was going to miss half the season, and now he's not going to miss any of it because he was recovering from Tommy John. They're like, okay, we'll pay you for basically half the season, and I'm sitting here like, I'll run. Frickin' Corey Oswalt for half the season and then Rich Hill the back half, because then there's at least a chance I have a good pitcher for half the season instead of giving Porcello $10 million.
Yeah. Well, also, like, Porcello is durable or whatever the hell. So, like, you know that played into it, too. And, like, at least with Walker, like, he's always been at least, he's been a quality pitcher when he's healthy. It's just that's been a problem for him, so, like, I'm fine with that type of dice roll, but Porcello, man, that was just a flash in the pan ass season. And now here we are.
Yep.
That's the worst part about it for me.
I'm not exactly high. I should rephrase that. I'm not exactly low on David Peterson, but I'm not that really high on him either. I don't know. I mean, obviously, I can't tell the future. I don't know how he'll be. But, Ken, you I guess, are... the highest one, what would you expect from him?
I think he's going to have a long career. I don't know if it's going to start now.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, if he was pushed in, if he was thrown into the fire right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, generic fifth starter. Mm-hmm. Probably a step above Oswalt, and that I think there's not a particularly good chance he ends up in Korea within the next 2 years. But yeah, like generic... fifth starter who quietly has like a 7 year career.
And I mean,
how lefties pitch forever, you know?
Mike Leake-ass career.
Yeah, a step below that.
Yeah, but I'm just saying.
Very
like,
Jonathan Nease like, I think.
I mean, hell, without, like, obviously the Mets offense has not been good the first few games, but logically looking at it on paper, it should be a good offense. Like, all you need is that as from your fifth starter, and you should be okay. Like, Oswalt, I feel like, is just going to give up 8 runs an outing or whatever, which is obviously hyperbole, but, like, I have no...
Don't be so sure.
Let's see. Let's play guess Corey Oswalt's FIP from last season.
Oh, dear.
7.2.
6.36.
Well...
Would you like to guess his ERA?
5.
8.
8.79.
It is 12.15.
Now, Steve is the closest
without
going over.
So it was a bad year, but he was still unlucky.
I didn't expect 12. Holy. See, that's bad. And,
really? Simply... 12 more than a run an inning is bad? I didn't know that.
He only struck out 6.75 batters per nine, but he walked a whopping 8.10.
I mean, Greg Maddux only struck out 6 batters per 9, and he was good, so.
Really, yeah. What was Greg Maddux's walks per 9?
Probably
half.
1.
0.9.
I'm trying to pull up his DRA just so I can get, like, a better feel for how he rates relative to league average. The point being, I don't need
to
see.
No bueno, folks.
Look, I don't think we need to see any more of David Peterson, right? It's not like, any more of Corey Oswalt.
Well, I was going to say, I agree, we don't need to see more of Peterson in the minors. Like,
in the minors, we don't need that either,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's where I thought where you were going.
I think plenty of teams, and the Mets especially, having this really bad tendency to just hang on to the bad thing they know, as opposed to constantly churning, right? And even if Oswalt was a little better, like even if Oswalt was what we said, what Ken just said Peterson will be, even if he was that, I'd still want to see the new thing because there's a chance it's better.
I agree. Especially when the current is this bad.
Right. And that he's this bad just reinforces that point that there's no reason to, especially in a shortened season, to continue to trot out the same known bad option because you're afraid the unknown option will also be bad. I think there's also the threshold at which, like, someone is so bad that it's basically, to use a video game term here, it's basically a throw. You're throwing the game by putting them in, right? And I'm pretty sure Oswalt is either right at – he's around that threshold, right? So even if the unknown is worse than Oswalt, it's at the threshold where it's so bad already it doesn't matter. So go with the new thing. Try out David Peterson. Try out Harold Gonzalez. Try out Erasmo Munoz, whatever. But
if Harold Gonzalez gets a start this year, we should have an emergency breaking news podcast.
Yes. Well, we should immediately call Jeff and make sure
yes,
he's okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Wellness check.
And like with
Can he even play though? Because he's not part of the pool. Can they add people in throughout the season? I don't know. I thought it was just once it's set.
I have no idea.
I don't know. Yeah. All of these rules, they have come so quickly and they're so ridiculous that
I just know that at one point the rosters go down to 28 and at one point they go down again to 26. I'm pretty sure.
I just know that we won't be seeing Tim Tebow, which is a shame.
They're just waiting for the gate. He's going to make the opening day 2021 roster because the crowd is going to be like standing room only.
You remember when he first debuted and that guy was having a seizure and Tebow saved him. So Tebow will basically stop coronavirus.
Wait, hear me out. Hear me out. We haven't been thinking about the fifth starter the right way. What position did Tebow play?
Left field?
None.
No, in football.
Oh.
Guy that throws?
He was the quarterback.
He didn't really play quarterback. He played like...
I mean, look, it said QB on the roster. He threw. What does a pitcher throw?
But have you seen
him
throw? Have you seen
him
throw football?
I've seen him throw. It's terrible.
Right,
but is it worse?
60 feet and 6
inches. If he does that over more than like 20 feet and as hard as he can, is his arm going to break? I think so.
Teach him a knuckleball. Hear me out.
He basically already throws a knuckleball. Have you ever seen him play his footballs? They just knuckle all over the place.
And then you get a two-way player because he could hit.
Of course.
Can he, though?
He's a two-way player in that he's bad at pitching and also bad at hitting.
Let's master being a one-way player first.
Oh, God.
Well, on that note, I guess...
Wait, two-way players aren't even useful anymore. We have a DH. Oh,
damn it. It's ruined now.
You do have the option of foregoing the DH in favor of letting the pitcher hit. So
they're
going to
forego the DH so Tebow could hit when he's the fifth starter.
my god.
That works.
See, if you could do that and, like, have a designated fielder, I would be all about it. That's how Andrés Giménez would be playing every day.
Designated
fielder. Like, Shohei Ohtani hit as a pitcher.
Andrés Giménez is going to play 60 games this season and have more runs scored than hits, and it's going to be the best.
That's a very likely outcome, I think.
He's going to go, like, 0 for 6 and have, like, 12 runs scored. And it's going to be like a rookie year video people talk about on YouTube, like, in 3 years.
How many stolen bases will he have?
Yeah.
Out of 12.
He's
not bad.
He's going to steal third when the Mets win their first extra inning walk-off.
Speaking of rule changes and stealing, that's a rule that hasn't made its way to the major leagues yet, that they tried out in the Atlantic League, where they've been kind of formulating all these things, is hitters were allowed to steal first base if the
pitcher
let the ball get away from them.
I forgot about that.
So, yeah, let's see if that becomes a rule.
I'd put Terrence Gore on the roster immediately.
Yep.
Steal first every time. Go. Just run. Don't even have a bat. Just stand in the batter's box facing first base.
Pretty much. Your main goal is to just make the catcher drop the ball by whatever means necessary.
You're just waving your hand in front of him before the pitch.
That would bring more utility to Andrés Giménez, I guess, on the roster. Hope he could tell a good joke or make funny faces. Mm. All right. Does anyone have any relevant last words of the week?
Rick Porcello starting on Sunday Night Baseball. Which is the Mets' favorite time to play.
National audience, baby!
and Tomas Nito is starting. So
just I'm pretty like sure this is the... Go ahead, sorry.
Literally just like they drew it up in spring.
I'm pretty sure this is the only Sunday game I haven't signed up to recap this year, and missing nothing.
So, what are the chances that if Porcello has a good game, Nito becomes his personal catcher?
Oh my god.
Yeah, whatever works.
Yeah.
I'll take that. Alright, if anyone has any questions, comments, whatever, you could send us an email at our email address, fromcomplextoqueens@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter and shoot us questions there. I'm at Steve Sipa. Lucas is at ElvlaHost343. Ken is at Ken1191. And Thomas is at SadMetsSeason, SZN. Subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcast from. Rate and review it. And of course, we thank you for listening. And we'll be back next week. And until then, love the Mets. Love the Mets.